T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome. We are glad you are on board. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate it. Hopefully you're enjoying your day today. As always, as we get into the last hour of the Bill Michaels Show, I'm Bill Michaels. Radio Joe is across the way. And all you got to do to get a hold of us is give us a buzz, 855-830-8648. That's on the Milwaukee Admirals hashtag Mill Hockey Talk Line. Milwaukee Admirals hashtag Mill Hockey Talk Line. You can hit us up on Twitter at @Bill_Michaels. @Bill_Michaels, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-S. Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. You can find Joe over there on Twitter as well, at Radio Joe Sports. And then there's the website, BillMichaelsSports.com. That is BillMichaelsSports.com. And Radio.com, the app. Download it on your mobile device. So yesterday we got into this discussion a little bit, as the Michael Silver piece came out. And we read it, okay? We read a majority of it here on the air, and we kind of talked about, you know, some of the things that were said. And, you know, every time there's a line in there about, well, I'm smart, or I can do this, and I can do that, and it's Aaron, people got all up in arms. Here we go! Coach Killer! And wait. Okay, let's be honest. They haven't played a snap yet. They haven't put on the pads yet. They haven't done anything. They're just two guys giving opinions as to what they can do, what they can't do, what will and will not be easy to do. Because apparently the offense that they run, because of the personnel groupings, because of the play call and the motions, and there's going to be quite a bit of motion, that it's something that doesn't lend itself to a quarterback who is smarter than the average bear to be changing things at the line of scrimmage. So Aaron Rodgers says, hey, I don't think you want my 11 years of walking to the line knowledge to go by the wayside here. I'm a pretty smart cat. And on the other hand, you don't want Aaron Rodgers having the willy-nilly ability to start changing things at the line of scrimmage when you think it may or may not work. So who needs to conform a little more? You know, who needs to be the one to say, you know what, this is not easy. This is not going to be something that I'm going to relish. So who needs to kind of do this a little bit more? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. PG3 says LaFleur is the coach, Aaron is not. They can both learn from one another and can't succeed without the other. Aaron is brilliant. But at the end of the day, LaFleur is a coach. Aaron can make the team believe in and follow LaFleur. We'll see if his ego allows him to do that. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. Let's go to Louie listening to us down in Franklin. Louie, how you doing today, man? What's happening?
Afternoon, Bill. Good job as always, my friend.
Thank you.
I think this is really easy. I think it's Aaron Rodgers that has to conform. So, I mean, I know football is not real world, but let's say you have a culture in your business that's just horrible, of backstabbing and, you know, people being negligent and people being insubordinate. And so they fire the manager.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you have all these people that are still there, and the new manager gets hired. And he says, you know what, guys, I want to do something a little bit different to start, just so I can learn what we do and how the business works. I want to meet every week. And everybody who was there, who was part of this culture that was derived of not having accountability or communication and all that stuff, now all of a sudden they're meeting every week. And Aaron's that guy that's in the meeting on his phone, not really taking notes, not really giving your new plan a chance. And that's what this screams to me. I mean, sometimes we have revisionist history. Don't get me wrong. Aaron's the most talented quarterback I've seen with my two eyes from a physical talent standpoint. And, yes, you want to rely on that. But when you want to rely on that is in the fourth quarter when you're down or in the fourth quarter and you need that drive to win a game. If he's not going to throw it to the guy that it's scripted to, and he's going to take a chance to a guy down the sidelines to make a bigger play, so be it. But when you're trying to install it, is not the time to start doing that. It just screams to me that he's not going to give this guy much of a chance because he's already part of the culture, and he's already been proven that he's above reproach and accountability, and they got rid of the other guy who had been there just as long instead of him. And I get it. You always pick the quarterback. But to me, this is what everybody feared with hiring a guy that's never been a head coach. And the best you could say is he's a disciple of guys that are offensive gurus. He's not Sean McVay. He's not Shanahan. He worked with them. The 1 year he was a coordinator, his offense wasn't that good. And, yes, his quarterback was Mariota and not a great Titans team. But he's a couple years older than Aaron, and that's part of the problem too. That's why I would have loved for them to say, hey, we'll give you 3 draft picks. Give us Mike Tomlin. Because at least when Mike Tomlin walks in, he has that cachet of being a Super Bowl winning, contending team coach that can command a room. LaFleur is going to fight an uphill battle the entire time. And it's not to say Aaron's not good and he shouldn't have the leeway to take a look and see, oh, geez, we got a run play called and they got 9 in the box. I'm going to audible. That's not what this is about. This is about a guy that's not even giving the offensive chance. Maybe he will see some things. System is what will prolong his career. If you look at his injuries, every time he gets hurt, it's off script. He's extending a play. When he's in the pocket, he's really good at avoiding big hits, but outside the pocket, he's not protected there. And if he runs the system, I'll use the Rams as a good example. Goff looked amazing all year because he stayed within the system.
Right.
And then when the Pats, kind of figured out some of the nuances of that system, he fell apart because he wasn't Aaron Rodgers. And that's the difference. That's where Aaron Rodgers needs to step in. Take the easy stuff to first. You're going to get your stats, man. You're still Aaron Rodgers. And you're going to win games. And then when it comes to playoff time and you make that read and you see 8 in the box and that you're supposed to hand it off to Jones, well, then go one-on-one to Devontae outside or whatever that may be. But I think this just screams of revisionist history. For 2 years, we talked about Aaron changing plays and not calling plays. And now, like you said, they haven't even put pads on. He's already doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, just screams of a larger problem that, if you do the same thing over and over and expect a different result, it's insanity. And that's really where I think we're at. And I think he needs to fall in line and give the system a chance. And then that's where you have those conversations. Hey, Matt, I know this play called and it was supposed to go to Jimmy. But Jimmy, I saw underneath, but I saw over the top. Kumerow had single and no safety over the top. And he can beat that guy. I want to be able to throw it over the top. That's where you have those conversations.
Yeah.
Have them up front. This just speaks to, when I heard this story yesterday, it just was like, all right, Aaron on the sideline saying, hey, I know what plays we're going to call. We're not calling that play. Run this play. And the play wasn't even in yet, between series. And that's just the thought I get. Now, that could be wrong, but he's got to give himself to the system. And I think we all said that when they hired this guy. So give himself to the system and then let his knowledge and intelligence and all that come into play when it matters most.
All right. Appreciate the phone call, man. Good stuff. I believe a lot of what he said is dead on. This is Wayne. Wayne writes, before McCarthy got fired, Aaron Rodgers wanted the Packers to be all in. I think they did that. Now he has to be all in on the new system and give it a chance as well. And that's kind of what we were just discussing. I don't think Aaron, let me say this. I don't think Aaron's going down his own path. I think Aaron's being honest, but I don't think he's going down his own path. And Aaron Rodgers is not going rogue, or Aaron Rodgers is not going to lead the rest of that team down the same path that Matt LaFleur wants him to go. I think he is also going to have a hand in it to be able to discuss it and kind of, set things up regarding play calling and such. But I don't think for those that, as Andrew writes, hey guys, I'm having an issue with all of this. Aaron Rodgers seems to be the guy that wants to do things his own way. And if he doesn't get it, he's going to speak out in the media. Does he say this kind of stuff to his coach behind closed doors? See, I think Aaron Rodgers was asked a question and he answered the question. I don't think, even if it's not perfectly politically correct, I think he's just basically saying, hey, look, there's a lot to this. It's not just going out there robotically and running plays and we're going to have success. There has to be a lot of mind in all this. And I'm a pretty smart guy. I've been doing this for 11 years. So I don't think you just want to say, I'll be a robot, go out there and hand the ball off or throw the ball to an exact spot and call it a day. You don't want, you're not coming in here for that. I'm Aaron freaking Rodgers, for God's sakes. And he's right. So as far as the conformity goes, who has to be the bigger person in that realm, I guess, as some of you are putting it? Joe writes, Matt LaFleur has to be the bigger person because he has to realize the talent that he has now working for him. It isn't about being a bigger person. It's about coming to the understanding that whatever we do is in the best interest of the offense and of our team. Because the high tide raises all ships. The more wins, everybody's going to get recognition. Certainly Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers, from getting out of what he considered to be kind of a stale offense into a new and exciting offense and making it his own. It'll benefit everybody. 855-830-8648. Rick, Steven, to catch the thousands on hold. Hang in there. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Hey, Cousin Subs, they want to remind you that right now the Cubano is back. The new Wisconsin Gouda pulled pork is here. They got a lot of good things going on over at Cousin Subs right now. So if you're looking for something new that may just make your mouth water, man, oh, man, oh, man, go hog wild. Go hog wild. The Cubano with ham, Genoa salami, pulled pork, Swiss cheese, and a whole lot more. Or the Wisconsin pork and Gouda, featuring pulled pork, bacon, Wisconsin smoked Gouda cheese, onions, mayo, Dijon. It's all available for a limited time at Cousin Subs. Go to CousinSubs.com. That's CousinSubs.com. And there is delivery, by the way, now available at select locations. So don't forget about that either. So go to CousinSubs.com. It's where they believe in better, that you believe in better. And they are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Talking some Packers here, and just kind of following up on some of the things that we discussed a little bit yesterday. That was the Michael Silver piece that came out that, you know, it quoted both Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers, then went back to Matt LaFleur and talked to Matt LaFleur about, you know, what Aaron Rodgers had to say, and basically it's, you know, Matt LaFleur saying, we're going to have more discussions, we're going to have to talk a little bit more, we're going to have to come to a common ground because this offense doesn't really lend itself too much to a lot of changes at the line of scrimmage. On the other hand, Aaron Rodgers is saying, well, that's great, but you don't want to take my 11 years of experience and what I have to offer and throw it out the door, do you? Come on, I'm Aaron Rodgers. And he's right. He's right. You know, Aaron Rodgers has, you know, forgot more about football than many of us have ever wanted to know. The guy is brilliant when it comes to the line of scrimmage. He's right up there with, say, Peyton Manning. And you have to come to some kind of a common ground, a medium, if you will, as to what will and will not be allowed and what can and cannot work. Now, again, as I said yesterday as well, I'm not necessarily concerned about what works. Because if Aaron Rodgers comes to the line of scrimmage and everything he does, he's pulling magic out of his hat, and he's just looking at downfield going, I am the savant. I'm going to, you know, point here, waggle there, eye movement over there, and things are going to work out great. Okay, then that's fantastic. My question is, what happens when it doesn't work? Because there are going to be plays where things just don't work out. What happens when it doesn't work or it consistently doesn't work? There's more failures than there are successes. Then does it become a pull, a back and forth, if you will, between the two, to say this is the way we need to run the offense? I think there's a lot more being made of this than there is actually there. We haven't seen pads. We haven't talked to them about, you know, hitting, how things are actually working. All we're seeing right now is the actual installation of the offense. And as far as the media goes, we're seeing a minimal of that because they don't want to show too much. And I understand that. Let's go back to the phone calls. Let's talk to Steve, listening to us in Merrill. Steve, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
I'm doing good. I agree with you. I think you've got a seasoned quarterback who probably knows Lambeau Field better than any anybody on the new coaching staff, and in certain game conditions, especially where we play, that in and of itself could well bring him about calling off a play and bringing in another play simply from that knowledge. And I also sometimes scratch my head because some of the big complaints about McCarthy were you could call the plays he was going to call at the line of scrimmage, and yet I hear that Aaron's all this and that. But nobody ever said that about Brett Favre, who his whole reputation was as a gunslinger.
Right.
So those are kind of my thoughts, Bill.
Well, appreciate the phone call. When you saw, well, first of all, depends on who you were watching. You know, Mike Holmgren, he had movement. And Mike Sherman took over and had movement, but basically left it up to Brett and gave Brett a lot of leeway. I mean, a lot of leeway. Then Mike McCarthy came in and reined it all in. We're going to call this. We're going to run that. That's it. And then Aaron took it over, and we're going to call this. We're going to run that. And then Aaron became comfortable in his own skin and started collaborating with Mike. And then it became, we'll call this. We'll run that. And then it became, we'll call this if I think it's going to work. And if it doesn't, I'm not. So over the time, the more veteran and more swagger Aaron Rodgers had, the more he had the ability. Now you got to go back to, we're going to call this, we're going to run that. And we're going to see what does and doesn't work. I'm not running around in pads and hitting guys and making plays and going full speed. It doesn't impress me much. All you're trying to do, again, is just learn right place, right time, right person, right look, understanding of the offense. If the linebacker is going to crash and leave you open, then it's an out pattern. If the linebacker isn't going to crash, he's going to try to kind of push you to the outside, then you cut in. Inside slant, off you go. I mean, you're trying to learn right place, right time. Nothing more right now. And I know it seems simplistic, but that's it. That's it. 855-830-8648. Chime in. This one's from our buddy Speedy listening to us in Appleton. Bill, we can't honestly answer this question until we see both LaFleur's offense and what Rodgers looks like in that offense. Matt needs to also include plays that Rodgers can use his talents. The intuition that Aaron Rodgers has, and that makes him who he is, it's silly not to let Aaron be Aaron, but we also need to admit that Matt's as to what Matt's offense looks like. That's Speedy listening to us in Appleton. Thank you, Speedy. Speedy, you're the man. This one is from Michael. Michael writes in the Wendy's email inbox, I think Matt LaFleur has to conform more to Aaron Rodgers. Don't we always say that coaches that actually coach the talent they have are better coaches? If Matt LaFleur understands then he will leave Aaron Rodgers a little more opportunity at the line of scrimmage to make his own decisions. I think Aaron also has to understand that not every play Aaron calls is going to work. Therefore, you have to put the ego away and you have to look at what's best for the team and not just best for the statistics. Aaron Rodgers is a very confident guy who can make almost any play work, but sometimes you just stick with what got you there. Hopefully, this offense gets you there. So there you go. That's from Michael. Michael, appreciate the email. It's, again, just to kind of wrap things up in this discussion, I'm thinking of it as I don't think one person has to conform more than most. I think most coaches that coach to the talent they have are more successful. It is very hard to squeeze talent and say, you do it this way in this particular hole. Because when you do that, you're not allowing the total talents of the players that you have under you to be exploited. What you're basically saying is I'm going to limit you to what it is I feel best, and that's it. Now, if you have a player that doesn't have a lot of talents and can do one thing and one thing only, then it bodes well. But I think Matt LaFleur is probably going to give Aaron Rodgers a lot of leeway. I think he's going to give him a lot of say. I think the game plan is going to be a collaboration. I think that there's a lot of good things that are going to come out of this before it's all said and done. And I am not overly concerned right now about the relationship between these two because both guys said the same thing. You go back to the opening presser. Matt LaFleur said he cannot wait to work with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers said he had a chance to talk to Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur seems like a good guy, knowledgeable, looking forward to the challenge. Well, here's the challenge. You know, I don't think that the Michael Silver piece, while it was enlightening, I don't think it was inflammatory. I don't think it was incendiary. I think it was just, here's two guys trying to get on the same page, and they're doing it through training camps and mini camps and OTAs, and don't worry about it. We'll wait and see what happens come training camp. This portion of the program also brought to you by our friends over at Quick Trip. If you are a professional driver out there, Quick Trip has quick rewards for you. Go to quickrewards.com. Quick Trip, quickrewards.com. You can check it out because you can win things, or not win things, but earn things like free sodas, free coffees, amenities where they're available. You can get some of the showers and such as well if you're the over-the-road driver and you just need to get in and get out. They have a lot going on. And they have not only terrific food and terrific daily items, they also have things like sodas and coffees and snacks and such. But best part about it, you can go to download the Quick Rewards Fleet app on your phone. So as you follow along, you'll see what's coming up and you'll see what either you'll get for free or what kind of, you know, gas or cents off of a gallon of gas you're going to get or a gallon of diesel. So check out the Quick Rewards Fleet app right here, right now, right today. If you're driving past a Quick Trip store, make sure you stop in, tell them we said hi. Stay tuned. When we come back, we had a great conversation a little bit earlier today. Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. He followed up on some of the conversation we were having earlier about this Brewers team, about this team. Are they truly a World Series contender? What do you do with Travis Shaw? What do you do with Jesus? What about Jimmy Nelson? All of those questions, all of that discussion, that is next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Bella Kane tomorrow night on the stage at the Wisconsin State Fair Park as Wednesday Night Live is back up and running. And tomorrow night, the Budweiser Pavilion is going to crank it up 7 o'clock. Gates open up at 6, free of charge. Free of charge. $6 to park a car, free motorcycle parking, and free admission. Always a good time at the Wisconsin State Fair Park and the Budweiser Pavilion. Hope to see you out there as Bella Kane tomorrow night fires it up. It's all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Earlier today, Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com, he stopped by. And we got into the discussion right out of the chute today. We said, look, watching this Brewers team falter, last six games, they're 2-4 in the last six. And then you start to ask yourself, okay, is this team destined for the postseason? You're kind of thinking they are, you know, at this point. I mean, why not, right? They're leading their division. But when you think about it in the grand scheme of things, there's a World Series to be had because that is the expectation this year, and that's to take the next step. So the question becomes, and I asked it to Adam McAlvey, is this team a true World Series team?
Yeah, look, they're really interesting. And I'll be honest, we were sitting there talking about this in the press box the other day. They're a strange first-place team because you look at them on paper and you're not that impressed, but yet they are in first place. And I don't know if that means that they are fortunate to be where they are, that they're better than we think they are, or if we're all just idiots and we can't see that they're a good team and that every good team has flaws. And we focus on the flaws rather than focus on the fact that they're winning games and they're scoring a good number of runs and they're in first place pretty, you know, what, game 71 or whatever it is, game 72 in the season. I don't know, Bill. I will say that I'm expecting over the next 6 weeks that every time somebody writes an article about pitchers available on the trade block, the Brewers are going to be in the first three teams mentioned because they just sure look like a team that if they're going to win the World Series, which is the goal after you play to within a game of getting there last year, they look like a team that could use pitching. Whether that's bullpen, which they've added in the past couple of years, or whether they do spring this year and make a play for a starting pitcher, you could easily fit a guy like that in and it would seem that that would make the team better.
Travis Shaw and Jesus Aguilar. I mean, Jesus got a little bit better over the weekend when he's out in San Francisco, gets his fifth dinger of the year, gets the average up above 200, but both guys still struggling mightily, and the screams are getting louder, and I'm sure you're getting them too each night. Keston Hiura is toiling away down in the minors, and these two guys are still in the starting lineup. At what point does something give?
Yeah, look, and my answer is still I don't know, because if I said this to somebody the other day, if I knew when they were going to pull the trigger on that, I definitely would not keep it secret. I think it's less, I don't know that Aguilar is in play with that, but Travis Shaw certainly is, because you saw it when Shaw was down, where they move Moustakas over, and it opens up a spot for Keston Hira. And the hard part about Shaw is they are putting him clearly in platoon situations where he is positioned to have success. And he's not having success. And they're in a stretch right now where they're facing a lot of lefties again, so he's not getting a lot of opportunities right at this moment. But when he is getting opportunities, it's still not that loud contact that you're accustomed to seeing from Travis Shaw. So, I mean, I think that Craig Counsell and David Stearns have been pretty clear about why they are doing what they're doing with Travis Shaw, that when they look at it, they feel like this is a player that helped them. This is a player in the prime of his career, a player that if he is what he always is, makes them a better baseball team, and that's why they have stuck with this and given him such opportunity to get it together. But I think they've also said that there is a breaking point where you just can't, where it maybe this is just not the year, and you do have to kind of move on if you have a better option. And in this case, they definitely have a good option in Keston Hira. So I don't, you know, at some point they do make a move if there's not production. And the hard part is knowing when exactly that point is. But it sure seems like as we get to what we're about less than 10 days away now from the midway point of the season, the mathematical midpoint, you know, if you've given a guy half a season and you're not getting production, that you can't be accused of not giving an established player a chance to get it going.
By the way, we're talking with Adam McCalvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. And look, the other one that's not producing offensively, but you got to give him a pass, is Lorenzo Cain. Defensively, yeah, he's tremendous, but is he ailing? I mean, he get banged up a little bit, and we're just kind of watching him try to heal before our very eyes, or is he really struggling?
Well, no, I mean, he's definitely banged up, and he's the kind of guy that when he plays banged up, you never hear about it because he is, he fights to play every day. I got to witness it on Saturday where he was told, he was getting Sunday off in San Francisco, and it's, he fights to play. He wants to play. And there have been issues that he has kind of quietly dealt with. And when there are issues to his legs, which it's been at times, that's when it really impacts him. I think there's even been plays defensively recently where he's not gotten there like he sometimes gets there. And I think he is banged up a little bit more than he's let on. But look, it's also about expanding his strike zone. And I was asking Craig Counsell about this because Cain is really disappointed in himself for expanding the zone, which is something he didn't do last year. He had such a good on-base percentage. He took his walks. He always felt like, if I can get on base a couple of times, we're going to win this game. And they did a lot because Christian Yelich was so productive behind him in particular, and Shaw and Aguilar. And he was chasing a lot more this year and really frustrated about it. Craig Counsell says some of their internal numbers that's able to break it down further than we're able to look at the public stats. They say he's not chasing as much right now. So Craig Counsell and the coaches feel like Lorenzo Cain is on a good path to sort of putting those numbers back up to where they're accustomed to be. And they say that there's progress even if it's not showing up right now. So this is one of those things where, you can sit and argue and see whatever you want if you're just watching the games. But they seem to have some data that suggests that Lorenzo Cain is going in the right direction. And, the on-base is, what, 305 or something right now? Mm-hmm. It should be up more around 350. And think of what a difference that would make for the offense with Yelich and Moustakas going pretty good behind him. That would have a pretty tangible difference. But just to add one more thing, I mean, and Yelich made this argument on Sunday. The offense is going pretty good. They're scoring enough runs to win games.
No, I agree.
Obviously not last night, but again, it's one of those areas where the standard now is, championship level team, and as well as should be after last season and bringing a lot of the guys back. And I think that's one of the reasons that some of these deficiencies kind of stand out a little bit more. And look, for Lorenzo Cain, there's big urgency to kind of get it going and get back to a little more of what he was last season.
Talking with Adam McCalvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com, what do you make of Jimmy Nelson's first couple of starts?
I use the phrase when I was asking Craig Counsell about his second start, is it looked like he hit a wall, right? And in the third inning of his first start against the Marlins, he walked a couple of guys, gave up a double and a grand slam. It looked like he hit a wall. Against San Francisco, he was pitching pretty well. And he gets into the fifth inning, and he throws 12 to 13 pitches out of the zone, walks three. The Giants score three runs, totally change the game, and end up sending the Brewers to a loss. It looked like he hit a wall. Council and Nelson really took great pains to dispute that characterization and said 60 pitches, it has nothing to do with hitting a wall. It had nothing to do with fatigue. He just lost the strike zone. So maybe we're fighting about semantics on what we call it, but it's just been, it seemed to me that he's gotten out into these games and then things have turned south really fast. The thing I would say, and I think that they would say, is start number two is better than start number one. So if start number three is better than number two, that is moving in the right direction. The hard part is he just faced the two least potent offenses in baseball in the Marlins and Giants, and now he gets the Cincinnati Reds at Miller Park. And that's going to be a different challenge. You know, again, we're talking about on paper, anything can happen on any given day, but the Reds just look like a much more troublesome group of hitters for Jimmy Nelson, and it's going to be, you know, his challenge is going to be showing more progress and trying to figure out what the heck happened in the fifth inning the other day. If it wasn't fatigue, then what happened to lead him to suddenly lose the strike zone, and how does he correct that? You can be sure he's been working on it in the last couple of days.
Where are they on Gio Gonzalez right now?
He's in this just like playing catch. Last I had asked, he was not scheduled to get back on a mound. So I don't know. I mean, this is a mysterious one. I guess it just is a player that didn't have a normal spring training, all of a sudden was pitching in major league games, and it caught up to him. You know, the pitching in a major league game is different than pitching in a minor league game, and it's certainly different than throwing simulated games down in Florida. He was bouncing around from high school to high school and college to college trying to get some hitters. It's totally different when you're throwing in a major league game at 7 o'clock at night. And that seems to be kind of what got him. So they say there's progress, but it seems like it's still a bit away. If he's got to get back on a mound, he's got to face some hitters somewhere. For him, it's been a longer layoff. You'd think there'd be a minor league start to avoid this again. So that looks like a longer road. And their starting rotation right now is, They came into the season feeling good about their depth and feeling like they, you know, again, like last year, where even if they don't have the big names at the top, they felt like they could cover innings with just a lot of different guys. They've tapped into a lot of that depth now, and I would say it's stretched pretty thin, and that's another reason why is you know, maybe Gonzalez's progress is tied to David Stern's motivation to go out and make a move. You know, if they're really confident in Gio being really good and getting back, then maybe you're less likely to go out and make a deal. But I guarantee you he's looking.
Yeah, I was going to say I guarantee you he's looking. I just wonder at what point. And I know I got a minute here, but I wonder what point you're kind of forced. You got to make a decision. You got to pull the trigger because there is no tomorrow when it comes to the trade deadline. You know what I mean?
Well, no, and that's different this year. It used to be that July 31st came and went, and you could still make deals in August, like they did for Gio Gonzalez.
Right.
The player gets through waivers. That's no longer. July 31st is now a hard deadline. So, you know, Ken Rosenthal wrote a piece today talking about this. You know, maybe there's more motivation to strike early in the trade season and not wait until that flurry on July 31, because once, you know, if you don't get it done that day, then you know, what you got is what you got.
Right.
So I wonder whether we're going to see a little more action in baseball. Maybe not yet, but once we get into July, maybe especially past the All-Star break and that week after the All-Star break, maybe there'll be a little more movement as teams make moves.
So there you go. That was Adam McCauley a little bit earlier today as he joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 800-44-PRIDE. Or go to SchneiderJobs.com, a summer to remember. That's what we're looking for at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson in Oconomowoc. There's going to be rides, live entertainment. That's where our motorcycle ride is going to land as well. on Sunday, September 1st, so you can check out the gang there at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson, but also go to BillMichaelsSports.com and get registered for that ride. Go to the events page, and you can find it. But we're going to end up there with a tremendous party, and this year it could be your year to ride. Maybe you don't have a motorcycle and you want one. They've got new and pre-owned and a great staff that's going to help you find the bike that's just right for you. Craig is out there making all kinds of deals right now. They are selling a boatload of bikes. They're getting new ones in all the time. Make sure you stop out to Wisconsin Harley-Davidson or go to WISHD.com. That's WISHD.com, where you can check out all the bikes that they have to offer right there on the website. If you want to go to it physically, it is just west of Milwaukee off of 94, take exit 282, Highway 67, right there south of Oconomowoc. It's right there south of the highway. You can't miss it, right off of the highway. Again, go to WISHD.com. That is WISHD.com. We'll wrap things up. Coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael Shaw, we are on the air. We are glad you are on board. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Certainly appreciate it. Tomorrow on the program, we are going to talk to Aaron Nagler, and we're going to get his thoughts as the Green Bay Packers, now have the entire season, off season to finish up before they get back at it and get back into the training camp mode. I can't believe we're going to be, within the next 6 weeks, we're going to be back into this thing. Really 5.5 now when you think about it. But I can't believe it's upon us. It just, wow, it's going to come really, really quick. And hopefully by then we've actually seen temperatures over 80 at one point or another. Also tomorrow we'll continue to talk some baseball as well, as the Brewers are going to take on the San Diego Padres. Game 2 of the 3-game series. That is coming up later on this evening also. So looking forward to that. And we'll talk so much tomorrow. Andy Benoit is going to be here of the MMQB, so we're going to talk with him as well. Want to get his opinion on what's going on in Green Bay and get his thoughts on Matt LaFleur and the offense that he's coming out of, because we want to find out how much different this may be via the look, just the eyeball test, to what we've become accustomed to seeing. So we're going to get into that discussion as well. Tonight, Brandon Woodruff takes the mound for the Brewers. Woodruff 8-1 with a 3.87 ERA. Logan Allen going to be on the hill tonight for the San Diego Padres. Brewers need to get the last couple, get back home. You've got a Cincinnati team like Adam McAvoy just said in the last segment. There, they can hit. They've got some run producers there. So you got to come back, get home, get a little bit warmer weather this coming weekend. Maybe the ball's going to sail a little bit better at Miller Park. Hopefully, Jesus Aguilar continues to look a little more comfortable at the plate. And maybe, just maybe, knock on wood, whatever it is you need to do, say a prayer that Travis Shaw starts to get off the schneid. If he does and things begin to trend in the right direction, at least pitching-wise, then this team is going to be very formidable, and they have a shot at extending the lead in the National League Central and really starting to separate themselves. But if they don't and they continue to founder, the screams are going to get louder and louder and louder as Travis Shaw does not play against lefties. And Keston Hira is toiling away down in the minors. And it is eventually going to come to a head. Like Adam McAvoy also said, you're at the halfway point of the season here. You're going to be at the actual halfway point here in about 10 days. So there's a big litmus test out there right now if you're Travis Shaw that, hey, you're just in a constant struggle right now, and it might be time to make a change. Because if this team is legitimately going for it, when you come home and want to put butts in the seats, you got to tell your fan base we're going for it. We're not only are we in first place, but we're in first place and we want to be in it to win it, and we want to extend our lead. So therefore, what you do in the next few weeks leading up to the trade deadline and what you do in the next few weeks with your offense is going to tell fans, are you for real? I don't think just treading water and trying to remain just a titch above the Cubs is the way to go, but we'll see what they do here in the next few weeks as things are going to begin to culminate there. So that's what's coming up tomorrow on the program, and we're looking forward to it. Also, We'll, like I said, talk about the trade deadline of Major League Baseball. And let me ask you this. If you had to get, if you went out and had a big-name pitcher right there on the trade market and they said, we want Keston Hira, we'll talk about whether or not Keston Hira is untouchable, which is an ominous thought because you're talking about your top prospect who has had a cup of coffee in the majors and performed, your top prospect, possibly could he be on the trade block. Now, I don't think he is, but we'll get into that discussion tomorrow about should he be. Should anybody be untouchable at this point, other than maybe Christian Yelich? You know, if you got to make a deal to get better, you know, are you going to be able to get better with prospects or not? So we'll get into that discussion coming up tomorrow as well. Always good to talk to everybody today. We had a good one. A lot of good discussions today. Thanks, everybody, for joining the program. We'll be back at it again tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow. We'll get into that trade discussion, talk a little more Packers football tomorrow as well. And I'm sure we're going to start to hear more and more rumblings as to what's going on in the NBA. We can get into that discussion. There's going to be a lot out there. Till tomorrow, hopefully you have a good one. Enjoy some of the weather that is today. Until then, have a good one. Sweep.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.